Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porter with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, discussing all things Nashville Predators and the weekend that was for the Preds. And to help us talk more about that, we welcome in our good friend Darren McFarland, host of Darren Donick and Chase, also handles the Predators pre- and post-game duties for the Nashville Predators Radio Network. Darren, what's going on, my man? How are we doing?
Good morning, Robbie and Joe. What a beautiful day here in Middle Tennessee. What a way to start
off
the week.
It is a gorgeous day here in Middle Tennessee. And, Darren, we'll get to the weekend as a whole for the Predators in just a second. But I do want to say, your point about, you know, somebody on this team finding a spot, looks like Ellie Tolvanen's found a spot for this group right now. He is ripping that puck from the left circle.
And you should see the look on my face every time it happens.
I bet it's glorious.
Just earlobe to earlobe, just full of smiles. Oh, it's just a it's a thing of beauty. I absolutely love it. Look, here's the deal. Who's, you know, all the stuff we've seen on social media, all the Twitter jokes, you know, oh, the Predators get a, you know, they draw a penalty, they're going on the power play, all the fans, ah, they should decline, power play, nothing's going to, right? We've seen all the storyline over the last several years. And, you know, a lot of it, rightfully so, I understand they have a reason to be upset. They have been inept. Is a word on the power play, but I'll tell you what, they have been humming along. Two more last night, and Ellie Tolvanen has 5 goals on the season, 4 of them on the power play. And I'm just going to say this: if you get up and walk away now when the Predators go on the power play, you're a fool. I mean, I'll just say it: you're crazy. You're out of your mind because I just kind of feel like something good's about to happen. That's the way I am now, especially over in that left circle. I just have watched Robbie, Ovechkin, and Stamkos, especially now that Tampa's in this division this year. These guys have a spot, and I get it. They're future Hall of Famers, and I was never intending it for it to be that. I just have always marveled at guys that have a spot. They do something that is very, very predictable, and everybody knows what they're going to do, and yet no one can stop it, and they do it their entire career. I marvel at that because, you know, you would think that you would say, well, we know where Ovechkin's going to be. We know where Stamkos is going to be, and yet you would find a way, just like in football, we say, oh, then you need to double cover, triple team, double team, you know, this guy, and we're just not going to let this guy beat us, right? We say that. They say that all the time about sports. We're not going to let this guy beat us. Well, you would think teams would have that mentality of we're not going to let this guy beat us and we're going to stop that shot, and yet nobody has been able to perfect that for a full season throughout their careers. And I'll tell you what, Ellie Tolvanen, that was ridiculous, that shot last night, but that's what his shots have been. I mean, we all knew he had the shot, but now it's just fun watching it play out at this level. And now it's fun, even more fun, doing it with the power play. And what are they, 18th now on the power play? What did Adam Vinken tell you guys? What
top
did they
10.
Need to? Top 10, okay. They just keep climbing, and then he's done with that GIF. Did I hear that correctly?
Yeah.
They got to get in the top 10.
They got to get in the top 10.
He's done.
It's a GIF, but yeah.
Is it, though?
Well.
We've had this debate many times, and I call it a GIF, but there are many, many others that swear, and we've actually had proof sent to us that the actual pronunciation is GIF.
That's like a peanut butter.
Peanut butter, which I love. I love peanut butter.
It's my third favorite GIF. Peanut butter, you know? It gets me confused.
Do you like Skippy more?
No, I'm GIF, personally.
Oh, yeah. No, what's the other brand?
Peter Pan.
Yeah, I think that's my
brand. You don't even know.
He thinks it's his brand. Hey, I think Peter Pan's my
brand. You know GIF is your third.
Yeah, I'm going to go home. I'll go home today and check out the pantry. We also, there's a few other brands, too, like the real high, the really healthy peanut butter. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, you're going to get crickets on this show talking about healthy peanut butter. I get the stuff from Sam, so they sell Jif in buckets.
Huge.
So I get the buckets of peanut butter for the house.
And I just think, I understand apparently the guy who came up with GIFs says they're supposed to be Jifs, but I just...
Nobody cares what he says.
Yeah, exactly. I think
so
we
the
just
guy
go
who
GIF.
Created GIFs or Jifs, and he says they're Jifs, you disagree with the guy who created them and said, no, it's a GIF.
That is correct.
Not a GIF. Okay.
Yeah, I just prefer it, you know? So I think we're just going to go with that. You know, Darren, I gave Robbie some crap for the Ovechkin comparison. You brought in Stamkos, too. So we got all kinds of headlines
from today's show on Ellie Tolvin and comparisons. But to your point, then him in that spot, lethal. Now let me ask you this. Is this Ellie Tolvanen, you know, on a hot streak, just like players go through, or are we seeing the beginning of someone who's going to produce, you know, at a high level, like a top six forward for years to come? Make that prediction right now.
You want me to step out on that limb right now? I mean, how about we just soak up and enjoy what we're getting out of him? I'll tell you my takeaway right now. I don't know. I would love for the answer to be yes, but Joe, I'm not willing to step out there. I don't know. We know players get hot. I like what I see. I think what has jumped out to me is, you, like I said at the beginning about Tolvanen, we all knew the number one weapon in his bag, right? It was his shot. But it takes more than just that to make it at this level and to play night in and night out. And I think that's what's really jumped out. By the way, when you see puck battles, by the way, you see 28 in there battling all the time, right? Yep. You see him hitting, winning puck battles, playing a 200-foot game, both ends of the ice, and that's what the Predators, that's what they needed to see. That's what they were working on in Milwaukee, and that's what they were trying to basically hone in on, every aspect of what it takes to be an NHL player on a consistent basis. That's what's jumped out at me, Joe. I hope all this, you know, the offense is great, and certainly if he keeps scoring at an alarming rate, it's amazing how if things fall off a little bit, you know, maybe on the in the defensive zone, or maybe he's not doing that as much as they would like, they tend to look the other way. That's how it works, because the Capitals organization for a long time, until Barry Trotz got there, while it drove them crazy, they tended to look the other way when that guy had 50 goals every year, right? That's how it works. So I hope he gets to that point where they can look the other way whenever he's not doing the other parts of this game that they would like for him to do. But right now he is, and I think that's what jumps out at me, is just his complete game at this age, and that has been really cool to see. He's not backing down from these guys. He is jumping in the middle of things. He's not afraid to go slam up against the boards and win a puck battle. I love that about him right now, and I hope it continues.
Darren McFarland, host of Darren Donick and Chase, on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. And obviously, Darren Tolvanen, a bright spot this weekend for the Predators, and then a mixed bag in Florida and in Dallas. What did you think of the Predators' weekend as a whole? And particularly when you factor in the injury situation as well, now with Matt Duchene missing the next 3 to 5 weeks, where are they, in your opinion? Where do they go from here?
Let me just say this, guys. We've had a lot of fun in this segment right now. You guys have had a lot of fun this morning. It's a great day here in Nashville. Just look outside. If they lose that game last night, we can laugh about it, like Pecorine on that stop on Joe Pavelski in the shootout. We can laugh about it now, right, because they came out with 2 points and they won. But if they didn't win that game, I don't even want to think about what today would have been like. We already know the people that are ready to pounce are ready to pounce. Or people that have been pouncing are ready to pounce even more. And that would have been all the fuel they would need for their fire. And I can only imagine what would Twitter would have been like last night, what this week worth of shows would have been like. It would have been bad. I mean, I'll just say it. It would have been bad, especially coming off the 6-2 loss on Saturday, where they scored first, and things just went awry, went sideways after that. But you look, the bottom line is they had a 3-goal lead with 8 minutes to go in the game last night, and it went to a shootout. And look, did they miss a call on Roman Josi? Absolutely. Was that boarding? Absolutely. And by the way, they've been calling boarding last night.
All night long.
That's what I don't understand. Like, they've been calling. If that crew had not been calling boarding all night and it had been happening, you say, okay, well, they set the precedent all night long that they weren't going to call that call. That's not the case. They were calling boarding. And I don't understand why they didn't call that, but here's where I'm going with this. Yes, this team needed to get tougher. This team needed to get edgier. And I think they've done that this year. I mean, you see now, you get close to the goaltender, whether it's Soros or Pekka, and, Borowiecki, it happened last night. Borowiecki, Benny, they will go after you. And others, well, the Cousins, those guys, they're not going to take that crap. And I love it, and you guys love it. The fans love it. But here's the deal. You still have to be disciplined. And Should it have been called? Yes. The reaction, should it be frustration? Absolutely. Especially if you're a player in the moment and you see it happen and it's your captain. But you can't go cross-check with 5 minutes to go in a game and a 3-1 lead on the road right in front of the official. What do you think's going to happen? I mean, you know, you just said, here, Dallas, here's a power play. Which, oh, by the way, everyone should remember. I know it was a while back, but does everybody remember the games against Dallas earlier this year?
Oh, yeah.
What they did on the power play? I would hope so. I hope you never forget that, especially the guys out on the ice. I just don't understand, and he's a veteran. If that's Elli Tolvanen that we're talking about at the beginning stages of his NHL career, okay, maybe give him a little bit more of a pass. Like, young man, you can't do that. But a guy like Ryan Johansson, like, I cringed. I want them to be edgier. I want them to not take crap from the other team. And I want them to be frustrated on a no-call that should have been called. But don't just go give Dallas the power play when you have the 3-1 lead with over 5 minutes to go and the momentum was starting to shift. I didn't love that play. I cringed. I'm not cringing now that I know what happened. I cringed at the moment. I wish I had it on video so I could show you guys. See, there's proof. The minute he did it, I was like, no, 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 no. But it happened, and, you know, like I said, we can all laugh about it today because Roman Josi ended up saving their bacon and winning the shootout. But I can only imagine what the talk would have been like today if they would have came away with just a point and a loss last night.
All right, Darren, let's go with other Bridgestone happenings this week. I just want to get your thoughts quickly on BBN. Do the Wildcats have a shot? Because the only way they're playing in the NCAA tournament is winning 4 in 4 days. And what did you think about the Vols yesterday, and what do you think about them going into this SEC tournament?
Midway through the game, I'm thinking, you've got to be kidding me, right? Like, you've got to be. This team is just tanking. Like, they're done. And then what did they go on? I don't even know what the final count. I lost count at like 32-12 run.
Yeah.
What was it?
That
was the last time I really kept up with that stat. I think it was a 32-12 run, and obviously they come back and win by 9. But do I think Kentucky has a chance? Yeah, they have a chance. Do I believe that? Not really. I posed this the other day on the show. Tennessee, Alabama, and Arkansas. And I think it's Alabama, Arkansas, Tennessee in that order. Do we all agree, the three of us, that's the top three in the SEC? Do we all agree?
Yeah.
Okay. So we believe that we've identified those as the three best teams. So coming into Bridgestone Arena in the SEC men's basketball tournament here, you take the top three or the field to win it all, who would you take?
Give me the top three, baby. I'd go top three, although I do think LSU is another team that could get rolling. But, yeah, I'd have to take the three over the field.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel. I wanted to have a reason to take the field, and LSU's one of them, Kentucky, possibly, Florida, possibly. But I don't know if I really believe it, right? I don't know if I really believe that those teams could win the tournament here. So I end up taking the top three, too. So to answer your question, no, I don't think Kentucky's going to win. Tennessee, I still don't think they've fixed anything. I don't know if they have a magic pill that they can swallow. And, you know, the proverbial light switch, flip it on, and away they go. We're about to find out. They're capable of it. They're talented enough. But I'm just confused at this Tennessee team. I don't understand why they're not better. I don't understand how they get down. I don't understand how there's games where they look like they just don't even show up. And we'll see. But you saw, they look inspired the second half of the game yesterday. Let's see if that can roll over into this week and maybe beyond.
Darren McFarland, host of Darren, Donick, and Chase, also handles the Predators pre- and post-game duties for the Nashville Predators Radio Network, has been our guest here on Robbie and Retro. Darren, great stuff as always, my man. We'll listen to you starting at 10 o'clock and enjoy the beautiful day here in Middle Tennessee.
Thank you, guys. I'm going to go eat some peanut butter. You do the same.
Thank you. We'll try to do that as well.
Make it a GIF.
A little bit after the show. Speaking of the SEC tournament, all this week, stay tuned to 102.5 The Game for SEC tournament coverage presented by your Middle Tennessee Toyota dealers. When we come back, we'll switch gears and get back into the Titans, revisit the poll question of the day. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The NCAA tournament is right around the corner, and it's time for you to sign up and play the official Game Bracket Challenge brought to you by Volunteer Hose and Gasket, Cool Springs Wine and Spirits, European Collision Repair, and Coach's Corner Sports Grill. Go to thegamenashville.com or the Game Nashville app now to sign up and play. The brackets will open after the teams have been selected on Sunday, March 14th. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Monday morning. We'll be joined by Mike Tannenbaum from ESPN here in about 10 minutes at 9:30. We'll get into the Titans and the NFL offseason with him. Lots of interesting topics to get to coming up this week in the NFL. So looking forward to that conversation with Mike Tannenbaum. Joe, let's revisit our poll question of the day at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. Today's question is this, and it revolves around tight end Jonnu Smith. What would be your approach with pending free agent tight end Jonnu Smith? The options are apply the transition tag, the franchise tag, sign Jonnu to a multi-year deal, or let him walk. Right now, 32% of the vote says multi-year deal they would sign Jonnu Smith to. 27% say they'd go the franchise tag route. 21% say their transition tag. And 20% say you let Jonnu Smith walk. So right now, the multi-year deal leading the way for Jonnu Smith.
Yeah, too many let him walkers out there.
I think the ideal scenario is the multi-year deal. The question is, what does that number look like? And in this offseason, makes that more challenging than it would otherwise be.
Yeah, but I mean, the thing is, if you can get a multi-year deal done, you could certainly structure the contract to
absolutely
help yourself this year better. Yep. Help yourself in this year where you need more help than you'll need, and be better off for it. So easier said than done. But to me, applying a tag and then maybe getting it to the point where you can put a multi-year deal together, and that might be the way to go. Letting them walk, I'm not there. I feel like I think I flip-flopped on this. I'm definitely a flip-flopper.
I think you flip-flop on
yeah,
this.
Yeah, I flip-flop. Because I was Jonnu, and then I was Corey,
yep,
and now I'm Jonnu again.
Yep.
It's close. It's really close. I just think that you have a better pool of replacements for Corey than what we know is out there in replacement of Jonnu.
Ryan Porth, of the three free agents that we've spent so much time talking about, Rex wrote his flip-flop on this. What is your opinion? Who is the Titans free agent that they can afford to lose the least out of Corey Davis, Jonnu Smith, Jayon Brown?
I would probably honestly, I think Jonnu tops the list, but I do feel like next year, if they lose Jayon Brown and they just roll with David Long, and it's nothing against David Long, but if Rashawn Evans doesn't bounce back, I do feel like that would become a position of weakness on that defense.
So putting Corey Davis third?
Can it be 1A, 1B, 1C?
Okay, that's still third. C is third in that progression.
Okay.
Right? I mean, you have to. Yeah, they can't be tied.
I mean,
I respect it.
You can make a case for all three.
I respect it.
But I think there's so much talk about Corey Davis and Jonnu Smith on offense that sometimes we do forget about Jayon Brown. And Jayon Brown is a playmaker on defense.
No doubt.
And Rashawn Evans hasn't exactly been a playmaker. So can David Long become a playmaker? Or is that going to be a vulnerable spot on that Titans defense moving forward?
Well, I mean, I threw this out earlier, and again, I would answer Corey Davis. I think, and maybe part of that is because I've seen this Titans team for so long try to find receivers that are competent, that I've seen how big of an issue that's been for this group. Now that you finally have two that you feel good about, you just hold on to that if you're me, and that's just based on the Titans not being able to have that throughout most of the history of their franchise here. But it is interesting, like, how much time we've talked about the defense and how bad it's been and how much improvement needs to happen there. And then I've always had Jayon Brown third in this discussion, and I wonder if I'm just crazy for overlooking that side of the ball with him and how impactful he's been. When we talk about the misses that John Robinson's had, that's one of his best picks, is Jayon Brown, the fifth round.
Yeah, It is. Jonnu Smith is up there too, by the way, as a third rounder. But no, it's not like to me there's any sort of gap. There's not much of a gap. But I'm consistently Jay on third too, and it really is. I do think David Long is a playmaker. I think that he's done a fair amount of playmaking. Now, can he be the all-around player Jayon Brown was? I don't know. But there's no one behind the other two.
Well, he's done it in spurts. Like, can he do it 16 weeks and in the playoffs, David Long Jr.?
17 weeks. Well, thanks for the reminder. Nice job, NFL.
That's what I'm doing here.
I mean, the other thing with Jayon is you may not have Rashawn Evans beyond 2021.
Yeah.
And if you lose both Jayon and Rashawn Evans, what does that inside linebacker core look like beyond that?
Yep. No, I agree. It's tough. But what are you doing to your offense? If you sign Jayon, I mean, I have to think that you're signing one of these three. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they can somehow sign two of these three. Yeah, it's hard to make those numbers work. But if you're signing one of these three, you're losing both those guys off your offense. I mean, you're asking, for your offense to take maybe a big step back in exchange for a good player, but now you have a player on a good contract who remains a three. I just, there's not someone behind the other two who you feel good about. And I think that has to be factored into the discussion.
Well, and the other part of that is you've talked about, yes, you need to improve the defense, but you don't need to totally sacrifice a part of your team that's already elite on the offensive side of the ball. Now, maybe that happens anyway, and the team just naturally takes a step back, and Henry doesn't have quite as good of a year, and the transition from Arthur Smith to Todd Downing is not as smooth as you want it to be. I certainly leave that on the table, that the Titans offense is not as good next year. I mean, it's a pretty high bar to be as good as they were this past year, but you don't want to just totally derail it either, and that's the balance you've got to strike if you're John Robinson.
Yeah, the thing is we talk so much about the D coordinator hire, right? And obviously everyone's all mad about it, but you talk about someone who has pressure on them.
Yeah.
Todd Downing, to come in and just, hey, keep it going.
Keep it rolling, buddy.
If you're him right now, speaking frankly in this discussion, you're like, bye, Jayon. See you, buddy.
Yeah.
See you later. I mean, it's like, because you are. I think you're right. There's a good chance that they regress to a certain point, even if they have all their pieces back offensively. But I bet you they're still a top 10 offense if they have them all. If you lose both of those guys, I mean, look, Derrick Henry, Ryan Tannehill, A.J. Brown, that's a heck of a trio, but you got to have more help than that.
You do. And speaking of the Tennessee Titans, we'll continue this discussion when we come back and get into all things NFL offseason as well with Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN NFL analyst. He'll join us next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Scheduled to be joined shortly by Mike Tannenbaum from ESPN. We'll get into all things NFL offseason with him and talk about the Titans a little bit as well. Joe, from a league-wide perspective, and we'll talk about how it affects the Titans here in just a second, how eventful do you think this week could be? Leading up to free agency, obviously next week, the salary or the franchise tag deadline scheduled for tomorrow at the moment at 3:00. We'll see whether or not that moves based on the salary cap and discussions going on there, trying to get that number finalized. But just given what we think this offseason could look like, how eventful do you expect this week to be league-wide in terms of cuts and restructuring of deals, everything that we've talked about leading up to what makes this offseason, I think, maybe the most fascinating offseason I can remember?
Yo, it'll be crazy. It will be. There will be names that you'll be surprised to hear. Maybe Titans names you're surprised to hear. I mean, I agree with what Corey Curtis said earlier. I guess I'd be surprised if I don't hear Kenny Vaccaro's name this week.
Yeah.
But there's going to be other names too, and not just here, around the league. I mean, again, we did a big thing a couple weeks ago on possible cap casualties. And if I start reading off names, some of them I may have missed that already are. But, I mean, there's just a lot of them who are on big deals. We saw Golden Tate released, but you've got Hakeem Hicks and Geno Atkins and people like that out there. There's a lot of guys who I think could be out Adrian Claiborne is someone I have said, you know, maybe the Titans, if the Browns let him go, and the Browns have money, but you know, there's an example of someone who might be worth looking at if you're the Titans, if he is cut. A lot of guys like that. And again, there's going to be some big, big names involved in that too.
And to help us talk more about that, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in ESPN NFL analyst Mike Tannenbaum to the program. Mike, appreciate you taking time to join us this morning.
Great to be with you guys. How you doing?
We are doing well. Hope you are as well. And Mike, we're just kind of looking ahead at this next week here in the NFL with the restructuring possibilities of contracts or cuts that could take place. How eventful do you think this next week or so could be league-wide leading up to free agency?
Yeah, I think we're on the precipice of a truly historic offseason. You know, ESPN's Adam Schefter has talked about it a lot, but there's a lot of different, you know, permutations when we start getting to not only just Dak Prescott, but what happens with Russell Wilson and what happens with Deshaun Watson and, you know, the quarterback carousel. Does Sam Darnold, is he at the Jets? Where does Mitch Trubisky go? Does Drew Brees retire? I mean, the storylines are truly endless as it relates to quarterbacks.
So locally, Mike, we've been talking about Titans with three you know, pending free agents who are very important players of this team. I'd love to get your thoughts on those three and I guess what you feel like the market is for them and what you think the Titans should do. And those are Jonnu Smith at tight end, Corey Davis, and Jayon Brown, middle, inside linebacker. What do you think about those guys? How would you approach this if you were the Titans?
Yeah, you know what's interesting? I think Corey Davis is a really good player. He's improved. But when you just talk about the supply and the demand of the position, you know, you probably would have to put him third. You know, just from a standpoint of, I think this is similar to Chris Godwin and Shaq Barrett in Tampa, which is, Godwin is younger. He's a really good player, but there's so many receivers out there, guys. I think Corey Davis, you know, initially got off to a slow start, but he's gotten better. I just think you've got to be patient with him. And then as it relates to Jonnu Smith, I would definitely try to sign him. He's a guy that's a good point of attack, tight end. They're hard to find. I think he's a really good fit in that program. And Jayon Brown's a good player. You know, he's overcome, like, his height deficiencies, and I think that's someone you got to proceed with caution and hopefully get him back at the right price.
Mike, obviously, you know, the offseason last year was unprecedented, and nobody had any experience trying to go through an NFL offseason through a global pandemic. How much better do you think teams are positioned to handle that this season based on the offseason experience that they had a year ago?
Yeah, I think we're going to see, to some extent, a new normal here. I think a lot of the classroom work will now be via Zoom, which, you know, would be absolutely unheard of a year ago. And I think to a certain extent, maybe there'll be a check-in and maybe, you know, a couple of smaller mini camps where players come in for long weekends. But I think some of the comments that J.C. Treader made were really, really interesting. And I think the off-season program may have changed maybe permanently.
So, Mike, do you buy the idea of Deshaun Watson sitting in 2021? Is this just posturing by the Texans until they actually have to come to the table?
Yeah, I think we have a long way to go on this one, guys, just because to sit out a whole year, I mean, it would cost him over $20 million in salary and bonuses, and I don't know. I just feel like at some point, hopefully, Cal McNair sits down with him and they could work it out. I know he's really dung it now, but we've got a long, long way to go. And he's one of the bright talents of our game. So, you know, for the sake of the game, I hope it gets worked out. And, you know, this is the time of year where everyone postures.
ESPN NFL analyst Mike Tannenbaum on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And, Mike, we've had Titans fans float out the idea of maybe the transition tag or the franchise tag for Jonnu Smith. And I know each individual case is different, but just when it comes to the conversations of trying to decide whether or not to place a tag on a player, what goes into those conversations? What is that process like trying to determine who to use tags on and who to not use tags on?
Yeah, that's a great question. And again, like, that goes a little bit back to what we were just saying about Corey Davis. Corey Davis is a really good player, but he's playing a position between free agency and the draft. Like, again, going back to Chris Godwin and Shaq Barrett, there's just so many receivers that are going to be there that you can find one. I think with Jonnu Smith, again, he's somebody that was drafted by Tennessee, developed. he really is a great scheme fit for what they want to do. He's a really good person. Like, he checks every box, and it's a position that's not always easy to draft or to develop. So that's why, to me, it's position specific. And then you want to layer on top of that is, like, what do our options look like? And again, that's why I would put him so far ahead of Jayon Brown or Corey Davis.
So what about when you compare those two tags? Am I being too simplistic when I think that maybe the transition tag is a worthwhile gamble in this particular year because of how strapped so many teams are?
Yeah, that's a really fair point. I think it's going to be fascinating. If we were here in a month on the phone, we could probably put together an unbelievable team of 22 starters that are unemployed. And I think there's going to be some really surprising names out there just because cap's never gone down before. No one's ever really modeled that. You know, I know some years we've modeled, hey, maybe the cap may be flat or maybe it'll just go up just a little bit. No one's ever sat there and say, like, well, you know, revenues are going down or the sport's not healthy. You know, like, it's never happened. And look, it's no one's fault. There was this insidious pandemic, and now we have to all deal with it. And from a free agency standpoint, it's truly historic, and we've never seen this before.
Mike, you brought up the quarterback movement that could potentially take place to begin the segment. We spent some time last week talking about Drew Brees. What do you think he's got left in the tank? Obviously, a lot of injuries that he dealt with this past season. How realistic do you think it is that he comes back for another crack at it with the Saints?
Yeah, I think, look, he's an all-time great. He needs to be honored. He needs to go into the NFL Hall of Fame, the New Orleans Saint Hall of Fame, but it's over. They can't win a championship with him, and it's time to go with Jameis Winston. Taysom Hill's a great change of pace, but they have to move on. I'm sure they know that. I think they want him to retire on his own terms. And this is one of those things that Coach Belichick does such a great job of, by the way, guys, where you know when it's time to move on. And that's one of the things about running a team is you have to look great players in the eye and say, hey, thank you, but it's over.
How alarming do you think the Russell Wilson conversation is in Seattle? And where do you think that leads?
Well, yeah, you know, for me, guys, like, the question is why? Why are we here? And here's a remarkable, remarkable stat. Right now, the Seahawks have three players on their team on offense that aren't on rookie contracts. So philosophically, Coach Carroll wants to have a great defense. And, he doesn't want to pay people on offense. And then they gave up two first-round picks for a box safety. And if I'm Russell Wilson, I'm looking around the league, I'm looking at Tennessee, I'm looking at Kansas City, and I'm saying, I want to do that. Like, I want to score points. I want to have more resources on offense. So if I'm Coach Carroll, I got to realize, like, I have a great quarterback. We were on Get Up today, guys, and we were talking about the fact that if Russell Wilson was traded to Chicago, he would be the greatest quarterback in the history of the Chicago Bears. And I think to some extent, Seattle's taking him for granted. And they need to sit down and say, hey, why are you not happy and how do we make this work?
Yeah, no doubt. I want to ask you about another quarterback movement here. Matthew Stafford to the Rams. What do you think this does for the Rams? How much are you buying them next year with him as a contender?
I'm not as high on this. This is one of the many places that Dan Orlovsky and I disagree. I guess that's why they have us on so much together. But, to me, greatness is about making those around you better. Like, Derrick Henry is a great player. He makes people around him better. Ryan Tannehill is a great player. He makes people around him better. Matt Stafford at some point should have won something, in my opinion, in Detroit if he was a great player. So while I'm not the biggest Jared Goff fan in the world, I do think Stafford is better than Goff. I can't sit here and say, like, wow, you know, now the Rams are a Super Bowl contender, because at some point he would have done something great in Detroit.
ESPN NFL analyst Mike Tannenbaum has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. Mike, really appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. Great stuff.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Mike.
Lots of great stuff there from Mike Tannenbaum. We'll unpack some of it on the other side, including some interesting thoughts there on how to use the franchise tag and the transition tag as well as it relates to the Titans. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Preds fans, join 102.5 The Game on Wednesday from 6 to 7 p.m. for Smashville Live, starring Mark Borowiecki and Matt Benning. Hal Gill and myself will be on the program as well. And Smashville Live airs every Wednesday on 102.5 The Game during the Preds season and will feature Preds players, former players, and other special guests. You can also watch the show online via 102.5 The Game's Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and thegamenashville.com. Smashville Live brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. To view or listen to past shows, go to thegamenashville.com/Smashville Live. So, four people on the show then. Three of them have been NHL defensemen or are NHL defensemen. And then there's me.
Also a prime elite athlete.
Yes.
In your own right.
Yes. The Hendersonville Parks Basketball League has never seen anything quite like this.
So, above the rim, baby.
Above the rim, baby. That's where we play. Thanks to Mike Tannenbaum from ESPN joining us in the last segment. Joe, what did you think of his thoughts on how the Titans should handle the free agents that they have coming up? Jonnu Smith, the priority for Mike Tannenbaum there. He agrees with you. Put Corey Davis at number three on the list when it comes to Smith, Jayon Brown, and Corey Davis.
Yeah, I think he made the right point there that there's a lot more that you can do if you lose Corey Davis than if you lose Jonnu Smith. He said pretty big gap between Smith and the others. So I don't necessarily agree with that, but I agree Jonnu's my latest number one. Check with me on Wednesday. It may change again by then, but I think it all makes sense. And he sort of backed up the idea of the transition tag maybe being worth a shot in this particular year. Good takes by Mike Tannenbaum until he got to the Lions, but, you know, we can't be perfect. I think Mike Tannenbaum,
you're really high on Matt Stafford going to the Rams.
Well, I'm really high on the Lions are a disaster organization.
Well,
that
yes.
He got the Lions to the playoffs three times.
He did.
And
it's hard to do.
Frankly, he played well enough to win in Dallas, one of them. And actually, gosh, they went to New Orleans and, I mean, it wasn't his fault that, like, the Lions never stopped Drew Brees one time, you know, in the entire game. I mean, he played great. So I just reject that. Like, if you're playing for a loser organization like that and you even get them to the playoffs, you've done something special.
Well, it's interesting to hear that. I am higher on Matt Stafford than I think Tannenbaum is. I don't know that it makes L.A. like the favorite in the NFC or anything like that. Like, I'd still put the Packers and the Bucs ahead of L.A. But certainly I think they're in a better spot than they were with Jared Goff there for sure. Interesting comments by Tannenbaum as well on Drew Brees. Said he's done. It's over. And we talked about it last week. Like, Drew Brees is out there pushing a sled around. He has not officially announced his retirement yet from the NFL. And you threw out the point that, you know, maybe if he's healthy, he can come back and have a better year than he had a season ago. But Tannenbaum saying, yeah, it's over. They can't win with him as the quarterback. And maybe the Saints are secretly deep down hoping that he retires on his own and they move on from there.
I just can't look at him throwing the ball this year compared to 2019 and believe that it's just age. Like, it has to be tied to those injuries. Now, if you say, hey, why would you expect him to get through a year healthy anymore? I get that. It's a gamble. I think I'd still take that gamble, though, if it's true that, you know, all of his ribs being broken affected him throwing the ball. I'm guessing maybe it did. What, a shoulder to go with that, too?
Yeah, like, I hear what Tannenbaum's saying there, and I agree with it. Like, I don't think the Saints can win a Super Bowl with Drew Brees as is. I also refuse to believe that the best option to go with now for the Saints is, hey, yeah, just throw Jameis Winston back there. I've seen that movie before. I know how that ends. You're not winning a Super Bowl with Jameis Winston as your quarterback either. It's
right,
not going to happen.
Right, that's to me. Like, I can buy it's over, but if then the next thing is just Winston time, like, I don't know. I don't know that I just can't believe the Saints would go with that either. You know, like Sean Payton's going to go with that. I bet Sean Payton.
Can't spell Winston without INT, baby. I just made that up. It's pretty good.
Really?
And it's true.
It's pretty good. That's very good.
Thank you.
I don't know where to go with from that. That's pretty impressive on the fly.
That's almost a walk-off.
Yeah, thank you.
That is. We should just
end save that for later.
What do we got, 6 minutes? I need to just end it right now.
Thanks.
Just play Robbie Stanley walk-up music.
Took me 5 months to have one. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, I wouldn't go there. I would gamble on Breeze, hope that he can find it again for one more year over – hope that Winston can cut down to like 18 picks. That would be almost in half, by the way.
That would be. So, I mean, that's a lot to ask for James Winston. But who knows? He's been around Drew Brees for a year. Maybe he soaked up some knowledge. Remember, the LASIK surgery. He's got the LASIK surgery now, so maybe he's seeing the defense a little bit better, and the interceptions do get cut in half.
Maybe. I mean, he certainly would take him over Taysom Hill. I'll tell you that much.
Joe, going to be a busy week this week in the NFL. How do you think this? What do you think this week looks like for the Titans? We've talked about Kenny Vaccaro and the decision that they've got to make at cornerback, whether it's Malcolm Butler or Dory Jackson. We assume that maybe you move on from one of those two, just doing the math and trying to determine what the cap is going to look like and where the Titans are going to fit in terms of free agency. How active do you think this week could be for the Titans? And as Corey Curtis pointed out earlier, do you think there could be some moves this offseason that they make that maybe we're not expecting, as in maybe a move similar to the Jarrell Casey move from a year ago?
Yeah, I think – I mean, look, I think we went through our plans a couple weeks ago and probably named every possible name. So I guess if you're counting that, then it won't be a total shock.
Right. But like Roger Saffold, I think would qualify.
Yeah.
Like if that happens.
Like we talked about
yeah.
that. But, yes, I would be surprised if that happens. I wouldn't be surprised if Roger Saffold's contract is touched,
sure.
moved around, whatever. But, yeah, I think that there's a great chance that there's some name that we didn't anticipate being out there. I think one of the corners certainly could be on that list. And, you know, even though I said that I would stick with Adoree Jackson and I would cut Malcolm Butler – I wouldn't be surprised if it's the other way around. I don't know that they necessarily agree with me.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I'd rather keep them, you know, if I were the Titans. Keep them both. But you're going to have to do something difficult here.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be a challenging offseason for sure. And trying to make the right decision. Like, that's got to be something that John Robinson and his staff hit on this year in making the right decision to free up some money. And bring in some people that can affect the quarterback. I mean, you've come out with a piece at theathletic.com kind of highlighting the approach the Titans are going to need to take this offseason. And obviously people pay attention to the pass rush. But this is deeper than just the pass rush. I mean, there are going to be multiple positions that you've got to address in some form or fashion. I mean, wide receiver to me, regardless if Corey Davis is back or not, you've got to address it. Like, this is going to be a multifaceted approach from John Robinson this offseason.
Another thing about this week is, obviously, you know, the cap wrangling is going on right now, so I guess everything could be pushed back a bit.
Yeah.
Although I think still there's some cuts that doesn't matter if it's $3 million this way or that way that are going to happen from teams anyway. There's going to be a stream of names out here.
There's going to be a stream of names, and we'll see exactly what happens in terms of the timing of it. Right now, the franchise tag deadline for the NFL is scheduled to be tomorrow at 3 p.m. Central Time. Now, there was a tweet earlier today from Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network talking about the deadline maybe being pushed back if an agreement or an announcement doesn't come soon on what the exact number of the salary cap looks like, and maybe as soon as today. So I'm interested to see, like, if we don't see news pretty quickly, maybe into the early afternoon here from the NFL, if they just go ahead and make the decision to move the tag deadline back. Because, like, I don't know if it's a huge difference maker either way. Like, you know roughly where it's going to be. But if you're a team expecting the cap to come in at 184 and it comes in at 182, maybe that affects the way you apply your transition tag or your franchise tag.
Yeah. It could be a couple players.
Yeah.
On the cheap. I mean, every million counts. So the NFLPA obviously pushing, you know, to wait on the TV deals, but man, it seems like it would benefit everyone.
It does, and that's why I think you may see this thing get pushed back a little bit until the decision is made. So we'll keep you updated on that as the day moves along here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. The final thing that I wanted to get your thoughts on Tannenbaum was when he's talking about, like, the decision to apply the tag. Like, I wonder, in the case of Jonnu Smith specifically, what goes into that if you're the Titans? Like, and I think sometimes we forget about this. Like, Derrick Henry is a perfect example. You can apply the tag and then get the long-term deal done. I wonder if that is the route they may go this year with the transition tag, just to make sure you can get him back in here locked up, have a chance to match if that happens, but then work on that longer-term deal and maybe structure it in a way where it doesn't just kill you this year.
I mean, you could go franchise tag, which is around 10 mil.
Yep.
And then, like, how often would it has it ever happened if someone gets franchise tagged and then they get a long-term deal that's like $4 million less than they would have gotten? Yeah. You know, I mean, if you do the franchise, you don't have to worry about like the Colts saying, hey, we're going to
drive this
you,
thing up a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, $14 million a year. What do you think, Janu? And then all of a sudden you're in a bind. So, yeah, I think that there's a good chance whichever one, if they use it, that then you work on that long-term deal that helps you this year in the cap situation.
That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joe Rex Road looking beautiful today here on the show. Some great takes as well. Well done.
Don't hate Roman Yossi and me because we're beautiful.
We'll try not to do that.
We can both be feisty, too.
You sure can. Very feisty today here on the program. Darren Dotica Chase is coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.